As most of you know, this past 2 weeks, kids from all over the world and parents from all over the world are in South Williamsport for the Little League World Series. One of the things I've noticed this past week while watching some of the Little League teams play on television is as you watch these teams, you can tell there are just some teams that are on a mission. There's just something about them and the way that they work. They have a purpose, it seems, when they go out onto the field. They have a plan. They're motivated. And you say, now there's a team that's on a mission. Years ago, there was a very popular book written by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, sold millions of copies and was followed by a book called The Purpose-Driven Church, in which many churches embarked on a study series about their churches and whether they had a purpose or not. It sold millions and millions of copies. I don't know how many people can actually even remember what they learned from them. I know I can't. But at any rate, they were to give us some direction to find purpose in our life and purpose in our churches. Millions of people are striving to answer the ultimate question in life: what's my purpose? Why am I even here? In regards to churches, many of them, churches and organizations, seek to answer that question in a purpose for their existence by way of a mission statement. We have a mission statement here at Williamsport Church. It is printed in your bulletin insert. It's printed there each week. Our mission statement here is that we gather together as a community of Christian believers to worship, fellowship, and to learn more about God. That's the purpose for us gathering together, is to worship, fellowship, and learn more about God. Then by the unity of the Spirit and the support of each other, we're able to reach out to the community and to the world. So our purpose is to learn about God, to fellowship with one another, to be strengthened by those, and to reach out to the whole world with the love of God. The Westminster Confession of Faith, which is a great confession of faith for the Christian church, drawn up by the Westminster group that gathered together years ago, many, many years ago, and they drew up a confession of faith using questions. And one of the questions was, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what is the purpose for humanity? What's our purpose for being here? What's our goal in life? And the answer to that was to glorify God and enjoy God forever, stating biblically from the biblical text that our purpose for existing is first and foremost to glorify God and then to enjoy our God that we glorify forever. Well, how do we do that? That's the question in the lives of believers and all people on earth. How do I glorify God in my life? First of all, the Bible teaches us we glorify God by accepting his plan for us to enjoy him forever. We glorify God by accepting his plan for us. He laid down a plan long ago. We find that in Ephesians in chapter 1, that he laid down a plan long ago before the foundations of the world, that the world would be saved through his son Jesus. And in being saved, we have eternal life with God forever. We'll be able to enjoy him forever. We glorify him first and foremost by believing in Jesus, accepting God's plan of salvation for us, in which we enjoy him forever. We say, well, what about this plan of salvation? Why is it so important to accept that? In Ephesians 1, Paul tells us he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's given us in the one he loves, meaning Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And he said to the believers, and you believe this. When you heard the word of truth, you believed this. And having believed this, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You were sealed in Christ with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until that day of redemption. He's telling the believers that in Christ Jesus, we are not only promised but guaranteed eternal life where we can enjoy God forever. So we accept his plan for us to enjoy him forever. We accept his son And thirdly, we obey his son. If you remember rightly, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, they went up and there was this glorious transfiguration of Jesus. And the voice from heaven said to the disciples, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him." We glorify God when we obey Jesus. You see, as Christians. So the last words of Jesus recorded in the book of Matthew are our text today. We call the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Matthew presents Jesus as the king, the promised king. So it would be very fitting that Jesus' words that Matthew would record is, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm the king. All authority has been given to me." And we find this great commission. We find the commands of Jesus, our king, and the confidence as we go forward to obey that command. He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." That's the command, to go. It's Christianity's mission statement in Matthew's gospel. And we see here and understand that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're disciples. That's what the word disciple means. A disciple is a follower. Disciples make disciples. They form other disciples. See, that's our purpose and our goal as disciples, that Jesus is telling them, "You're my disciples, now go out and form other disciples." A disciple is a follower or a witness of Jesus Christ, a missionary. In Acts chapter 1, Luke says, talking about Jesus and what Jesus said to them, he quotes Jesus by saying, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. The ends of the earth, you're going to be my witnesses." Followers of Jesus Christ are witnesses and missionaries to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And that gets a little scary when we start thinking about that. Because we think, well, a missionary is someone who goes across the ocean. Gotta go on a mission trip. Christians go on mission trips. And that's not necessarily true. Paul was a great missionary and he went all over the place in his day. All over into what's now modern Turkey, into Greece, Corinth, Philippi, all over into the well-known cities of his day. But you see, some of the things we see here in this text, first of all, is that we are to be witnesses, teaching and telling. You know that 78 to 80% of all teaching, all learning, I'm sorry, 78 to 80% of all learning is visual. 78 to 80% of all learning is visual. We learn by seeing, by watching. However, that cannot be the only way, because unless we know why we're doing what we're doing and know the proper procedures and how to do it and have someone explain it to me, as Paul said, how are they going to know unless they have someone explain to them? And how are they going to have someone to explain to them unless we go? The other 20% has to be the teaching by mouth. But 78 to 80% of all learning is visual, which tells us that what we do, what we say, how we act around others is the most effective witness that we have as Christians. You see, we're teaching others to be obedient to Jesus and what he says. But the question is, are we obedient to Jesus and what he says to begin with? And if we're not, what are we teaching other people, that it's important? Or not? Well, we go to church on Sunday. Jesus never said to go to church on Sunday. We're active in the church. We serve on certain committees. Jesus never said to serve on a committee. be active in our churches. In fact, what he said to his disciples here is, therefore, go. You see, mission work isn't inward. It isn't about ourselves. Mission work is about others when Jesus says, go. And that might mean go across the street. It might mean go across town. It might mean go across the county, go across the country, and sometimes go across the world. But mission work is not about ourselves. You see, new things in our church and working on our church is not a mission. Mission is going out, outward. We come here to learn and be strengthened in our faith so that we can go. And when we go, we teach others by example, by our own living, because that's how the majority of learning happens. That's what Jesus did. He lived a certain way, and people saw it. He was a man on a mission, and we're to be people on a mission. We're to be a church on a mission, so much so that people look at us and they say, there's something different about them. That's a church on a mission. And knowing our mission is to tell others to be obedient to Jesus and what he says by example in the fact that we're obedient to Jesus and what he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean bringing them to church and putting water on their head. What that means is bringing them into the kingdom. As Paul said in Romans chapter 6, we're baptized into Jesus Christ. What he's saying is teaching them by example, living as examples of Jesus Christ on the earth, bringing them into the kingdom of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See? That's the great commission. That's our purpose as Christians, that we're co-missionaries alongside Christ. The Bible says we're co-heirs, we're co-workers. Was talking to someone the other day, just the other day in the hospital, who had recently come to Christ, to faith in Jesus Christ. And it was an amazing story. They said that all their life they thought that they could do, they could handle things because they didn't want to surrender. But through the witness of others who had lost someone very dear in their life to them, through the witness of how they handled it and were strong about it and still had faith in Almighty God, it made a difference in their life to the point that their life was changed by accepting Christ and surrendering their life to Jesus. That's the first testimony I've heard here, folks, in 12 years. Amazing. All because of the witness of strong Christian people being obedient to Jesus and living out their faith. He says, go. Go and make disciples. Go witness. Go live as I've taught you. Teach others to obey what I've commanded you to obey, that they too might live the way you live, the way I lived. And the confidence he gives us as we do that, because it's scary, we don't want to mention Jesus, because then we're going to be convicted by everybody else. We're going to lose our friends. We might lose our job. We're going to be criticized because we're holy rollers. Well, you want to know something, folks? I think it's a whole lot better to be criticized because you're a holy roller than to be called by God's almighty word pagans, because we live one way on Sunday and another the rest of the week. That's what the pagans did. That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus says, go. And surely I'm with you. We have a stronger power with us when we sit down beside someone and talk to them about Jesus Christ. We have a stronger power who's in command and in control of the situation. Hey, if we're rejected, the Bible says we wipe the dust from our feet and we move on. Wasn't our Savior and our King Jesus rejected? to the point of death. This is our mission statement here: to go out, to witness to others, to witness to them about the glory and grace of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, showing them how wonderful it is when we're obedient to Jesus Christ, bringing them into the kingdom. Now, here we go. How do we witness? How do we witness? I can't do anything for Jesus. I'm just a child. I don't have an education. What can I do for Jesus Christ? I really can't do anything. I'm not a missionary, because missionaries, they go all over the world. That is absolutely the most insane thing in the world. We can be taught today. You see, Jesus said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the whole world." Yeah, there's going to be some that are going to go out, but what about the ones in our local communities and our culture in the United States? You know, now other countries are sending missionaries to the United States. One nation under God. And they're sending missionaries to us. So how do we witness? How do we witness? How do we make a difference for Jesus Christ? Well, I want to ask you something. How do you think Jesus would feel about those in Haiti that were destroyed by the hurricanes a few years ago? And all the poverty there and all the death and the sickness. His heart would be broken, wouldn't it? And he'd want to do something about it. There's a church out in Kane, Pennsylvania. Kane, northwest Pennsylvania. There's a church there. And the pastor, who happens to be one of my good friends, has chickens. Where he lived previously, he had chickens in his backyard. He had about 20 of them. He was moved to Kane, and now the chickens are at a farm about a mile away because he doesn't have room for them at the parsonage. But he has 20 chickens, and they lay eggs. And they bring those eggs to church on Sunday. And the people buy eggs. If they don't pay him, they put it in the account to be sent to Haiti. See. And what happens in Haiti is they use the money to build chicken coops for themselves. And every so often, members of the church go down and show them visually how to do the work and how to build them. And the money that's sent down gets spent on the expenses and materials of building chicken coops so that they can have their own chickens, lay their own eggs, and have a better life. Isn't that cool? Out of some dumb old chickens in Kane, Pennsylvania. Now, if you think that you can't do mission work and show the love of Christ somewhere, you're wrong. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us, and no matter how small of things that we do, when we show the love of Christ to someone else, it has power. It speaks to the world. You see, we don't have to have a plan, a 2, 3, 10, 12-step plan. All we have to do is have the love of Christ in our hearts that breaks for those in need, for those who are homeless, for those who are widowed, for the children who are orphaned, for those who are poverty-stricken, those who are hungry. Our hearts break for them. What can we do for them? See, and nothing's too small. I encourage people to send cards out to our homebound people. You don't know how much that means to them to get a card, to know that they're not forgotten. I know how much it means to me when someone makes something for me to eat. You know, I'm sure it means a lot to other people too. Some of you who are good bakers and cook a lot and like to do those things. There's no end. There's no end to our mission work in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't give them a plan here. He tells them, "You go out and witness to others so that others will become my followers, my disciples, my other witnesses. And I'm going to be with you when you do that. I'm going to make sure everything that you do makes a difference in the lives of others." It's just a phone call. It doesn't matter. What's done in the love of Jesus Christ for the glory of his kingdom, it makes a difference. People say, "Now there's somebody on a mission. My mission is the glory of God, of Jesus Christ, through the power of his Holy Spirit, that we do his work according to his command." And his last words in Matthew, Let's pray.